the brand new CD compilation from the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. What do? They get musicians free health care, something our government can't even do. And stand by for a little tune from that CD and the executive director. Called the Egyptians, and they're from the 1999 release Get You Some Healing. Get You a Healing, and all the proceeds benefit the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. And what is the New Orleans Musicians Clinic? We're going to find out from the executive director, Bethany Boltman. Bethany, you're on the phone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, darling?
Fine.
That is great. Bethany, let's talk a little bit about that. Now, what's happened is you guys put a CD out to benefit the New Orleans Musicians Clinic back in 99. And there's kind of a big story about that, what happened in the meantime. But now you've re-released not just that CD, but bonus tracks, 10 more bonus tracks. And it's online, so people can download it. And all the proceeds go to the Musicians Clinic. And once you speak a little bit, your work is amazing, because this is something that even our politicians couldn't get done correctly when we gave them the job to get us health care. Now they say it's 4 years down the road, we're all going to have to buy it. You guys provide health care for working musicians in New Orleans. Speak about that, Bethany.
Well, you know, when we got founded, let me just go back to the song you just played, because it all comes together.
Okay.
The band The Egyptians is this little secret band that was a one-time-only combination between two members of Phish and two members of the Meters.
Okay.
And the reason why Phish came all the way to New Orleans to record a song for us in 1999 is that Paige McConnell from Phish's father was the doctor who created Volunteers in Medicine, which is an amazing medical service for the working poor all over the United States. They have over 80 clinics. And Dr. McConnell was with the band Phish in New Orleans, and he was looking out at Jazz Fest, and he thought, you know, this is the birthplace of American music here. But it's an early grave for so many great artists.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a clinic in New Orleans that really treated these musicians with the honor that they deserve? So, you know, as with great ideas, it took him about a year. And he lives in South Carolina to meet some people in New Orleans. One of them was my husband. And he came back, and we were able to weave together the LSU Medical School, where there are a lot of great specialist doctors. Many of those doctors have come to New Orleans because of the music.
We just got off the phone with one of them.
Yeah, great.
Dr. Paul McCarthy from the brain injury clinic.
Wonderful. So, you know, they came for that. And so we decided that we wanted to give our performing artists, our musicians, gold card service to the best that was available for healthcare in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so we created the clinic, and this CD, The Get You a Healing, from 1999, was our first anniversary. And Phish came in, Maria Muldaur came in from California, because she'd had a hit with Danny and Blue Lou Barker's song, Don't You Feel My Legs, and was very attached to many New Orleans, a lot of the older musicians. And we did combinations of New Orleans musicians, people who love New Orleans music, and we wanted a really good CD.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And now, then we lost it all during Katrina. So it was a miracle.
Yeah, the master tapes went in the flood. And
yep.
you thought you had lost the entire thing. And then tell that story about how you rediscovered it.
What happened was, you know, we thought it was all gone. And a lot of the musicians on the CD kept saying, God, you know, I think I might have, you know, I know somebody who might have a copy of Get You a Healing. It was kind of, you know, rare that anybody would really have a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody said, you know, we think that it's online. And we went, no way. You know, there's no way that it's online. Well, it turned out that this little company called The Orchard, it was like two guys in a garage back in 1999,
mm-hmm.
in the subsequent years had become the largest online distribution company in the world. And they actually had a copy.
Wow.
And they only do online. And they said, you know, it's 10 years later, it was after Katrina, and they said, you know, you ought to re-release it online. We are going to, you know, do a deal for you that you get all the money from it. And why don't you get some other artists to contribute some new songs? And so, you know, for $9.99, people get 20 cool songs. So that's
wow.
what they did.
That is great. We're talking to Bethany Boltman. She's the executive director of the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. Their website is NOMAF. .org, N as in Nancy, O M as in man, NOMAF.org. You can go on there and find out all their great work. And the New Orleans Musicians Clinic is a primary health care service providing affordable medical care and referrals to a full range of wellness and social services to musicians, tradition bearers, and their families, members over 17 years of age. Our goal is to keep New Orleans music and culture alive. This is an amazing thing. And probably so much more important since Katrina, right, Bethany?
Well, it is, because, you know, before Katrina, I think, you know, as with most musicians, the idea of going in for prevention or if something didn't hurt real bad was kind of slim to none. But then
yeah.
after Katrina, when we still have very few healthcare resources, people understood that they needed to come in regularly. We have dental care.
Wow.
We have acupuncture. We have Feldenkrais. We have numerous services, but we have a culture of caring. And as part of culture of caring, you make sure that everybody in the culture is thriving. that the music won't stay alive if people are too sick to play.
That's right.
That's what we want to do, and we want to keep people in New Orleans because it's the only way that our culture will survive if the musicians pass it down to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. And just while we're on that subject about healthcare in New Orleans, speak a little bit about the controversy happening, just a swirling around Charity Hospital, which didn't get flooded. It was the oldest hospital in New Orleans, and it was all set to just be remodeled and could take care of the whole city. And they want to tear it down and wipe out a neighborhood near it that goes back some 200 years and wipe out this neighborhood and put up some giant multi-zillion dollar healthcare facility, right?
Oh, I mean, it is, you know, it's one of those things that I have to say that is so concerning that, you know, there are going to be people who make a lot of money on this project.
Yeah, that's why those projects usually happen.
And that's why they happen. But what you know, even when they're making the money and they're tearing down a neighborhood that they need not tear down,
yeah.
What's also happening is they don't have the doctors to staff the hospital because many doctors left after Katrina and they haven't come back.
Wow.
So they're creating this mega facility. Can you imagine a hospital, you know, that's like 3 and 4 blocks long? I mean, it's going to be really easy to get health care there. It'll be really easy to figure out where you're going.
Right.
So it is creating this health care system that doesn't have anybody to staff it, and that's concerning. And the other thing that's concerning is I don't believe that hospital will open its doors during my professional lifetime. And so while everybody is distracted about the building of this hospital, what's happening is who's going to take care of somebody who has a heart attack tomorrow?
Right.
Who's going to take care of somebody with diabetes that has it now?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's even harder for those clinics who are trying to provide health care services in basically a third world medical system,
yeah,
when every single resource is being completely funneled toward this boondoggle.
God, it's a shame. Bethany Boltman, the executive director of New Orleans Musicians Clinic in New Orleans, getting health care to musicians who are the folks that, some of the folks that really are the last ones to get it, because you don't make a lot of money playing music anywhere, and especially in New Orleans, right?
Oh, I mean, they just don't. But we have to say that we have such a rich culture that luckily we attract some of the best and the brightest young people who want to come and work for a pittance in our office.
Yeah.
We have a diabetic educator who's come from San Francisco who's donating 3 months of her time to help us create diets for musicians that eat their main meal at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know,
wow.
We just have great people who support the mission that we so hope.
That is great.
We can survive.
The new CD is out, folks. It's called Get You a Healin', and it's a kind of an addendum to the original. It's got 10 bonus tracks on it. Let's take a listen to the last song on the first issue of this. I think it's Big Chief, isn't it? It's
yes.
Big Chief Donald had a heart of steel. You want to speak about him just a little bit?
Well, the Mardi Gras Indian culture is where the basis of R&B in America came from. It's groups of African American men, gangs from the 19th century that exist today that make these magnificent suits. They're part, you know, Wild West show and part Haitian. And they play this fabulous percussion music, and I'm sure if anybody remembers the great Neville brothers, they came from that Mardi Gras Indian tradition. One of their uncle was Chief Jolly, one of the Indian chiefs. But this tribe has young kids in it too. And Donald Harrison, the jazz musician, is a son of this big chief who had died. And so this is the entire Harrison family and some of the young children singing in honor of their lost father.
Very interesting. And, you know, it's funny because the HBO series Tremé, one of their main characters was a chief who was getting his suit back together after Katrina. And
right.
and his son was a touring jazz musician.
Well, right. It's based on this family.
Wow.
And Clark, who plays, Clark Peters, is a really good friend of mine, and he plays the chief. He also was Detective Freeman, for those who watch The Wire. And he has become so much a part of the culture and is very close friends with the whole Harrison family.
Oh, so, amazing.
So it's really nice that you bring that up.
Was
it's
he originally
really sweet.
Is he from New Orleans?
Clark?
Yeah.
Clark, he lives in London.
That's amazing because he pulled that part off like he was one of the guys.
I'm telling you, the first time he appeared in the suit and started singing, because the voices of the Chiefs, their singing is really remarkable. And the first time that I saw, you know, basically the guy I knew as Detective Freeman, I was like, you know, he has been given the gift. It's a gift.
Amazing.
And he's got it. And he is so accepted and loved within the Indian culture, because I don't think there are very many actors in the world who could pull that out.
Yeah, and he did. I thought he was a real chief. I thought he was a local guy they had pulled out for the show. Let's listen to a little bit of this. A real tribute to Big Chief Donald.
I'm the Big Chief from the Guardians of the Flame. Yeah!
A bit of a taste of this great CD, Get You a Healin', came out in 1999, but it's come back out online, and people can just go on your website, right, Bethany?
Yeah,
oh, excuse me.
Go to iTunes.
They can go to iTunes?
Yep, and go to iTunes and Get You a Healin', and they can download it, and the money all goes to us.
That is amazing. And are you having fundraisers around New Orleans, around Louisiana, too, as well?
No. HBO, the Treme series that you mentioned,
yeah,
shows us as a sole beneficiary. And last year they did a benefit for us in which we cleared $90,000.
Oh, that's
wonderful. And that was before the series even came out.
Oh.
And this year they've chosen us again, thank goodness.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So that's really good. And then the other thing that we do benefits in New Orleans, and what we ask people to do that's so nice is if somebody's having a birthday,
mm-hmm,
send us a check, and we'll send them a really nice birthday card. You know, give a gift of Saving New Orleans music. Do it for Christmas. You know,
yeah,
give donations in your friend's honor. And then, you know, celebrate this way and keep the music alive. That's the one thing I ask. If you don't want to give money to us, at least put it in the tip jar, baby.
Spoken like a true New Orleanian. That's great. Put it in the tip jar, baby. The website is www.nomaf, New Orleans Musicians. What does the AF stand for?
New Orleans Musicians Assistance Foundation.
All right.
NOMAF.
There
yeah.
you go. NOMAF.org, of course. And great work you guys are doing down there. Just amazing. And Bethany, what's your background in all this? You've been a New Orleanian your whole life?
No. I was born in Mississippi 3 hours away, and from a very early age, I have to thank the Ku Klux Klan for pointing me in the right direction. Because when I was a child...
First time the other got thanked on KZSU.
Yeah. Well, when I was a child, there were these signs, you know, on every telephone pole in Natchez, Mississippi, and they said, you know, colored music corrupts white youth. And I thought, my God, if it's that good, I got to find these songs. And so... I just thought, you know, like, and it was like this little thing, you know, brought to you by the Klan of Mississippi. And I thought, well, you know, that's fabulous. And then soon after that, I heard the Ernie Cato song, Mother-in-Law, and I was hooked. I thought, I want to be corrupted like this. Where is this from? I need to go. So from the time I was just tiny, I just conspired to figure out a way to live in New Orleans full time, because I realized that 3 hours between Natchez, Mississippi and New Orleans was a whole world of funk out there that just waiting for me.
Sure. And when you got there, what did you find?
I found what I thought. I found trouble.
Yeah, there you go.
I was looking for trouble, and I found it. And I think one of our very first patients, funnily enough, was Ernie Cato.
Really?
And he came to the clinic, and he had that Jerry Curl wig, and he had a full tuxedo, and his wife, Antoinette, who had become a friend, I said, why is Ernie so dressed up? She said, baby, the only way I could get him here is to tell him it was a press conference, and you know how much he loves to get his name in the paper. So... I made all the doctors come out of the different clinics, and I made poor people waiting to see doctors pretend like it was a press conference.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, I mean, like, they started asking him questions, and he was just hamming it up. And so we said, well, you know, it would be a really good idea if you actually go into the exam room. And somebody had a camera, and so he pretended like he was getting his picture taken. So he got a full physical, and then he came out, you know, with the tuxedo. It was like, by that point, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and there's a full waiting room full of people. And he comes out, and he says, I want to announce to all the fans of the Emperor of the Universe, because, you know, he called himself Emperor of the Universe. He said, I want to announce to all fans that I do not have AIDS. I know there's a rumor out there that I have AIDS. I just have cirrhosis of the liver. And we were like, okay, so much for HIPAA, you know.
Oh, no, Ernie. And one of the stories we heard out here was we have friends that go down all the time, and he had a bar.
And the Mother-in-Law Lounge.
Yeah, and he had all his hits on the jukebox, and for a small donation directly to Ernie, he would get up and lip sync to the jukebox all his hits.
I did not know that is fabulous. You know, after Ernie died, and he had this fabulous funeral at Gallier Hall, where Jefferson Davis, President of the Confederacy, had been laid out, and there was Ernie. After he passed away, we decided to run him for mayor for donations to the clinic.
How did he do?
And he did pretty well. But we made about $1,000, and I was lucky enough to get do the platform. And one of Ernie's platform was that he wanted to give every politician in Louisiana $1 million, and if they got caught stealing after that, they had to have their hands cut off in public, and we would get the concessions.
Oh, Bethany, you make me miss it so much. I got to get back down there.
You do.
I really do, man. How's Fest doing since Katrina? Is it okay?
Jazz Fest is fabulous. But I just want to tell you that this weekend that just passed, there was a Poor Boy Fest, and it was on Oak Street, which is an uptown street. And, I mean, that John Cleary just rocked it. And
did he?
And the rebirth, and it was free, and it was fabulous, and the weather was great. And then the day before, there was a Fiesta Latina in the French Quarter, again, free music, and just listen to these amazing local Latin bands. It just, you know, like, they got a little bit of New Orleans funk, but they're still Latin bands, and it was so fabulous.
You know,
I'm so lucky.
We heard those stories of how people from south of the border, not necessarily just Mexican, were being bussed in after Katrina, promised jobs. A lot of them got stranded there. But we heard that these Latino neighborhoods were popping up in New Orleans where, you know, they had never been before. And one thing I thought about was wait a few years and let those two cultures mix. And the music that comes out of it is going to be incredible.
It's fabulous because, you know, they're mainly Honduranian have come. But there was a substantial Cuban community from the, you know, from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had a Nicaraguan community here, mainly out by the airport. So there wasn't a lot of mixing of the cultures. There was a Honduranian community. But again, you know, they pretty much stayed in their own little areas. But then after the storm, so many workers from Central America have come, and they're like right there, like they're right here in the middle of town, mm-hmm. and it's really exciting what's going on. You know, I really am so happy to see it. It's great.
That is great. Bethany Boatman's been our guest for the half hour. I wish we had more time, Bethany, but I'm going to have to stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
Please do. Thank you. Thank you for all your great work. The website is NOMAF, New Orleans Musicians Assistance Foundation. And you can go on there and get the new CD. It's called Get You a Healing. And just, Bethany, keep up the great work, okay?
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. That was Bethany Boatman. And coming up, some more music from that wonderful CD. The interruption, I have to cut in on this, but if you want to get this CD, it's at the New Orleans Musicians Clinic website, and that would be NOMAF.org. It's going to be on iTunes as well. It's called Get You a Healing, and all the proceeds go to the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. Check that out, huh? This is KZSU Stanford.